Hey, everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get T-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com. Hey, everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get T-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Every summer in Chicago, the sunshine spotlights the city's spectacular skyline. Its luxurious lakeshore, marvelous monuments, and the over 200 neighborhoods in the city. And it also brings to light two of the greatest sports franchises in the world. On the north side, it's the Cubs. On the south side, it's the White Sox. This is Crosstown Crosstalk.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 9 of Crosstown Crosstalk. My name is Vinny.
And I'm Joey.
And Joseph. Can't believe we're already on episode number 9, huh?
I know, right? We're how many episodes ahead are we on Bar Down?
That we just did 15 yesterday.
Okay.
So we're into this thing. Yeah. We got a little thing going on here.
And I kind of forgot you had that hat.
Yeah. For those who don't know, this is a UCLA Bruins hat, but it is more well known as the hat that Smalls wears in The Sandlot. It's given to him by Benny the Jet Rodriguez, so big fan of that movie. What do you like about The Sandlot?
Everything. Classic movie. I was actually just, I went over to our friend's house, and on the TV was, what was the name of that movie? I don't want to like give it away because you'll know it. I have the hat of it, the New York Knights hat.
Oh.
I'm having a brain fart. Is it?
Part two, actually. It's the New York Knights.
Yeah,
like a fake baseball team that's actually in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, second, if anyone's here already, someone will say it. They probably know. And I have that hat. You wearing that hat made me think I should bust out the New York Knights hat. That'd be cool to wear on here.
Yeah, good hat for
the natural. See, Santiago knows.
Yeah, Santiago. He's in our chat for a reason. He's just here to provide unlimited sports knowledge.
Yes.
I know we're giddy about baseball because it's been freaking sweet lately, especially for our favorite team. But I know you have something you want to address from last night. Take it away.
Yeah. Huge congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning on winning their third Stanley Cup in franchise history, twice in back-to-back years. What an incredible team. Everything I said came true yesterday. So, I mean, yeah, the Tampa Bay Lightning are the real deal.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. I honestly cannot wait to break down the entire Stanley Cup final and the season as a whole. We got a big episode of Bar Down Blackhawk Talk next Wednesday, so make sure you tune into that. But for now, we're going to talk some baseball.
Yeah.
Santiago wants to know if he could get a free T-shirt. Maybe. We'll talk. You want to rock the White Sox T-shirt or whatever weird shit Joey's wearing?
It's just a blank shirt. You got to be more strategic with your shirts. You should have wore that yesterday because, you know, we had news on them. They had just been purchased by the Blackhawks, and you decided to wear it today when we're going to talk about the White Sox and Cubs stinking. So,
excuse me, who's stinking?
The White Sox and Cubs stinking. I should have phrased that differently.
You phrased that horribly because the White Sox have not been stinking.
Yeah, separate statements.
You watch your mouth.
we're going to talk about the White Sox, and then we're going to talk about the Cubs stinking is how I should have phrased it.
Absolutely. So why don't we get in right to the Cubs stinking? Because you really hate to see it.
They're on a win streak.
It's just a real shame. No, you're not. You're not on a streak till you get two. One is not a streak. Two is.
Well, you have a chance to actually be right about almost everything. I'll be honest. Like, you killed it. You said that they were going to get swept by the Reds. They got swept by the Reds. And you have them at 2-2 against the Phillies. And I like that. I think they're going to win tonight. So we'll get into tonight a little bit. But talking about that Red series, you were spot on.
I think I know the Cubs better than the White Sox in terms of being unbiased. And I'm not afraid to say they stink. And them stinking came to fruition with their 11-game losing streak that came to an end last night with their 8-3 victory over the Philadelphia Phillies. And out of every game that they lost, the one that you probably would have expected them to win the most would be that game, or lose the most would be that game on whatever day yesterday was, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Because Zach Wheeler was on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies, and he's an all-star. And Alec Mills is like a spot starter, long reliever, not all that great. And the Cubs won because the world's upside down. What are your thoughts on them? First of all, what are your thoughts on them being on the 11-game losing streak?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to come back from. You look at the standings now, and you know they've kind of dug themselves into quite the hole with this losing streak. And yeah, they won last night. They got off to it was a 3-0 lead in the first inning. So you kind of had a feeling like eventually, like they were just going to snap and, you know, figure it out and just be sick and tired of losing. And that's kind of like where I felt yesterday. And I don't know, I could definitely see them putting like a few wins together here. I like them tonight. But I just feel like this win streak really, really made it tough for the rest of the season. And if you're not looking to sell by now, then, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of being selfish.
Do you think the Cubs are closer to the team that went on an 11-game losing streak or the team that was hot in May and parts of June?
Closer to the 11-game losing. I'd be more surprised if they got hot and went on a 10-game winning streak than if they went on another 10-game losing streak. That would surprise me more, the winning streak. Like, yeah, it's harder to win games than lose games. Obviously, like, you can say that. But I think it kind of showed a little more of what this team is more, you know, likely to do, and that's lose.
I'm getting kind of tired of the Cubs making us look like fools, to be honest with you.
What do you mean?
Because, like, at the beginning of the season, the roster on paper, it was clear that they are not that good of a team. The pitching's not great outside of Kyle Hendricks. We weren't sure what to make up of Dirty Craig Kimbrell. The offense has been broken since 2017. But then all of a sudden, they get really hot, and they win a bunch of games, and they're in first place. The Brew Crew ended up catching them because they got hot too, but really it was the Cardinals at the beginning. And then once it looked like the Cubs were actually going to have a pretty good season, they lose 11 in a row, and now they're in fourth place, and they're talking about selling again. So I'm getting a little annoyed with them kind of making us go back and forth each week. Like, pick one. Do you suck or are you good?
Yeah, and I think that it's pretty clear that they suck. When they made us look silly because they were playing good, that was also like, you know, they were getting amazing games out of Chris Bryant, Javi Baez figured it out, and then Kyle Hendricks was finally, you know, turning it on, being unreal. Craig Kimbrell has always been sick. And now you look at the losing streak, and then it seems like no pitcher can figure it out. They're giving up a million runs, and then they're just not putting up runs in close games.
I have a take.
What's your take? I have
a mad take.
What's your take?
People aren't going to like it. I don't think Javier Baez is that good of a baseball player. I don't. He's got like a 280 on base percentage. That doesn't play in today's league. You've all seen Moneyball. You have to get on base. It's not all about just hitting a home run. He had three home runs. Was it three or two? He had a very good game in the game they got killed by Philly, where they gave up like 16. You can't be doing that in garbage moments like that. Javier Baez needs to be a better hitter all the time, not just when they're getting killed. So I'm out on him. If I'm the Cubs, I'm trading him right now.
I agree they should trade him, but I don't think he's a bad baseball player. He's a good baseball player.
I would rather Tim Anderson as my shortstop every day of the week.
Not if Javi Baez came to the White Sox,
he would not play shortstop.
No, he plays second.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
it would be sick.
Mednick, sure.
And it would be sick. He would be sick in the lineup, and you know it.
He would provide power to the middle of the lineup, which they desperately need. But that on base percentage, man. I know he's going to have close to 100 RBIs, and he's going to have 35 bombs. That's all great and dandy. And he plays pretty good defense on shortstop, especially, you know, in the later years of his career. He's been awesome. But he's not worth $300 million. I'm sorry. Not with a 280 on base percentage.
I think he's an elite player playing like shit. Well, I'm not out on Javi Baez. I hope they trade him, and I hope he does great. Especially
how many years in a row are we going to keep saying that these guys are elite when they freaking suck ass? Since 2016, they haven't won a damn thing. They were pretty good in 2017. But in 2018, 2019, and 2020, they were god-awful. Their offense stunk. The pitching carried them in 2020. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about how the core, they did their job in 2016, and it's been an anomaly, it's starting to prove. I'm sick and tired of hearing about how great they all are. Javier Baez and Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, they're World Series champions. They deserve all the credit in the world. They ended the curse. They did their job in that season, but it's been broken ever since, and I'm tired of everyone acting like they're the greatest thing to happen with Chicago.
No, I agree, but I don't think they're bad players.
I think
they're just a bad team right now. And yeah, it takes more than just four guys to be a good team.
I would start over because those guys are
proving. I agree. Over. I would start over too. I would start over too. Maybe you keep a guy like Wilson Contreras, but for the most part, I'd say.
I'm listening to Cap and Jay Hood yesterday, and Jesse Rogers is on with them, and he's talking about building up the middle, which I kind of like that idea of, you know, you re-sign Wilson Contreras, you got Nico Horner, and then he wants them to extend Javier Baez. That is not what I would do. I mean, I would consider building up the middle if I believed in Javier Baez as a hitter long-term, but I just don't. I don't. And Anthony Rizzo's got his back that he's always dealing with. Chris Bryant misses every other game with a fingernail injury. I mean, I'm just telling you, man, it's broken on the north side.
Yeah, Rizzo's back scares me, and Chris Bryant is a piece of glass. I'm not out on Baez, but I also think it's time for him to play on a different team. But Wilson, I think they can build around him. If you're going to start over, you can get enough out of those three guys right now. It's to start over. I believe that.
Wilson Contreras
and Craig. They need to trade Craig right now.
I would trade Craig yesterday.
Craig is the best closer in the MLB, in my opinion, currently. Better than Aroldis, better than Liam Hendricks. I would take Craig Kimbrel on my team, better than Matt Barnes. I would take Craig Kimbrel on my team right now.
I understand what you're saying. Craig Kimbrel, he's going to come to the American League. He's either going to go to the Astros, the A's, or the Red Sox. Those are the three teams I see pursuing Dirty Craig.
If he went back to the Red Sox, but I think Matt Barnes is still closing for them. Matt Barnes is
good. He's an all-star.
Yeah.
This is the all-star show. We never even really got to that, to a little preview. This is the all-star game version of Crosstown Crosstalk, so make sure you stay tuned. We got some stuff coming up. But Baez, man.
Yeah. Santiago asks, if you could have one Cubs player for the White Sox, who would it be?
Putting me on the spot.
I got my answer, and it's I'm taking Baez.
No, I would take Chris Bryant because I trust Chris Bryant's bat long-term more, and Chris Bryant can play five positions. And with the way the White Sox have been dropping like flies this season, Javier Baez is basically limited to middle infield, and I'm not playing him over Tim Anderson.
No, but I think he can play shorts or first, second base good enough. You just said with the way the White Sox have been dropping like flies, you're bringing a fly in.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can't argue with that. Chris Bryant, his like side will hurt or something.
Yeah. Which, you know, these are athletes, and you know, you gotta, their body and health is first, but I mean, come on.
I know there are times though where Chris Bryant's missing time, and I'm like, I watch Jose Abreu take a 96 mile an hour fastball to his knee. I legitimately thought it cracked and he'd be done for the year, and the dude hits a bomb 2 days later. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying, I would take Baez right now with the way the White Sox are looking right now, with especially you look forward a couple months from now, how they're gonna look. I'm taking Javi Baez to play second base.
For the White Sox, if you got to take one and bring him over?
And I would take Craig. I just was talking high about Craig, but I can, if I can fix a hole, there's really no hole there. Liam is doing amazing.
Well, that's why I would take Bryant over Baez, because now you have a guy who could play third for when Moncada has his hangnail of the week.
Contreras is a good answer too, Santiago says. I mean, I don't hate that, but
well, with Yasmani Grandal,
yeah,
which we'll get in a little bit.
But I'm confident Grandal will come back. Maybe Kyle Hendricks could be a good one.
No, I'd roll with the Sox starting five, and then you have Kopech and Crochet if you need spot starters.
Yeah, I mean, another guy in the bullpen wouldn't hurt. Throw Dallas Keuchel in there to relieve.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, but I'm always looking to fill the holes when you're a team like the White Sox, who are in first place by a healthy margin. I'm more thinking KB in terms of the hole. Like, I actually don't hate the Craig Kimbrel idea, because I don't like the idea of either of them playing in the eighth inning necessarily, but I don't hate having two closers, because like yesterday, Liam wasn't available. So what if they got in a close situation? What if something would have happened and, you know, they didn't win the game outright? That's why I think Dirty Craig would be a good fit there. But, I mean, part of me just hopes they keep Baez and Bryant like Chubb suggests, because that would mean they continue to stink.
Yeah.
The offense is broken, and those guys aren't doing much to help.
Yeah.
So you would sell. That was my next talking point.
Yes, 100%. It's time to sell. You're, what, 8 games back? You're lucky. I mean, you're about to start a series with the Cardinals, too. If you shit the bet on that one, you're going to be even more back. You'll be in fourth place, because the Cardinals are right behind them. So it's time to sell.
With the way things are going, they'll be lucky to get freaking ahead of the Pirates. If they trade all those guys, there's no reason that they shouldn't just be all in on like a draft pick, like getting one of the top guys in the draft.
Yeah. And to sum up what Chubb said in the chat, his agent isn't going to allow him to sign. So he would trade Bryant out of any of the three. I think you got, if you want to rebuild properly, you have to trade all three, because you can get something for all three. And why re-sign any of them when look what you're doing with them? You need the assets to build around people, and you don't have it. So
yeah, Cubs fans are too attached to the names now. That's they're attached to the names, because they're not helping you win, but they can help your future. Because I know a team that plays a couple miles south of them that traded Chris Sale. Like, they kept no one except Abreu.
Yeah, and I remember there was talks. We had conversation amongst our friends. Like, is Abreu going to be a part of this winning?
It was in doubt. They kept one guy out of all of them.
And now he's looking to be, you know, he just, I forget what the stat was, but yesterday just joined a list with like, he tied Carlton Fisk for something. And, like, he's joining that list of great White Sox players.
Absolutely. Now,
that was, should have took note of that.
He's a couple home runs away from being fourth all time on the White Sox home run list with, I think it was Carlton Fisk and then Frank Thomas and Paul Konerko were 1 and 2, and I'm trying to think of who number three would be. Maybe it was, he was competing for third place and Carlton Fisk was third. I don't remember. But I don't know. I think the White Sox had the balls to rebuild. That's just a fact. Because in 2017, if their core was Abreu and they had Adam Eaton and Todd Frazier, and, you know, guys who could hit the ball okay, and let's say they had clean bill of health in 2017, and their rotation is Sale, Quintana, Rodon, and let's say they sign a middle-of-the-pack pitcher. So they have a pretty good top four. Not great, but a pretty good top four. They could be a wild card team in 2017. Who won the division in 2017? The Indians again? But they were like not the same team as they were the year before? I don't know. They could have been a wild card team at minimum if they didn't rebuild. But they would have ended up ultimately going nowhere, just like the Cubs are. Because the bottom fell out. It's over. Sometimes you just it's the people who admit that who end up being successful league leaders. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. How many times have we seen the Red Sox, you know, suck for a year, two?
They're not afraid to get rid of Mookie Betts a year or two, really.
Yeah, and now they're leading their division.
And Hunter Renfro has been, like, one of their best players.
And Alex Verdugo.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I feel like they lucked out with Verdugo. We'll get into the Red Sox a little later.
Verdugo's sweet. It's fun watching him. Yeah. But – so do you like that idea of building up the middle? Horner, Baez, Contreras?
Yeah, and I would say no Baez. Just because a lot, I would say I'm in the majority of people who think, like, yeah, Baez is still an elite baseball player, and you can get something for him. Let him go be elite somewhere else. But it's not happening. You're not going to win anything with this group.
Yeah, and
but I like Wilson. I say re-sign Wilson.
Well, I think the White Sox and the Cubs have an elite catcher. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
But he brings up the Dodgers and how they're elite every year. That's because the Dodgers don't take apart their minor league system every year. They draft and develop. The Cubs decimated their minor league system. They traded Jimenez and Cease for Quintana. They traded Gleyber Torres for Chapman. I mean, what's next? What's next? The Dodgers don't do that. They instead of trading for guys, they develop those guys they would have traded instead and call them up. May. And we all saw the development of Bellinger over
Justin
the years.
Turner.
Justin Turner.
Who's not an all-star, which is a joke.
Max Muncy, all of a sudden, he was a platoon player for a while. He only hit when righties were batting.
Matt Bevy.
The Dodgers are what the Yankees want to be and used to be. They spend money when they need to, like on guys like Mookie Betts, but they develop their minor league system too. The Cubs don't do that. They're the worst team in baseball at developing pitching. You can't name me a single pitcher throughout the Theo Epstein era that they drafted and developed or on their own. Kyle Hendricks was a trade. Jake Arrieta was a trade. John Lester was a signing. Who's the other asshole that was a real dick? John Lackey was a signing. Jose Quintana was a trade. They don't develop pitching. Albert Alzolay is the closest thing that they have to that happening, and I actually think they are going to hit on Alzolay. I like him a lot, but they traded Dylan Cease. I mean, how would the Cubs like to have Dylan Cease right now in his 130 strikeouts or whatever it is he has? I'm so annoyed with everyone acting like the Cubs are this awesome development team. They don't do anything. They've made so many mistakes. He brought up how he wishes they had two guys who threw 95. You had Yu Darvish. You traded him for a bag of baseballs. And I don't want to hear anything about how it was a cap dump or getting rid of salary. Why? The Ricketts are billionaires. What are you getting rid of Yu Darvish for? And I also don't buy that if they had Yu Darvish, they would have not lost 11 in a row. That roster stinks. They can't score. The offense is broken. I'm just done with the Cubs.
Oh, I mean, I got anything more to say? Get off your chest while we're here, right?
Yeah, I hope they get swept by the Cardinals just so everyone can really see their true colors.
I mean, if we're here next week and they're 12 games back, everyone, like, what, are we still going to be talking the same shit? Or is everyone still going to be saying to sign these fuckers?
Probably.
I don't get it.
Probably, because it's like they won something for them, so they tickled that pickle for them. And it's just going to stay tickled forever. Kind of like the 85 Bears. The reason the Bears have sucked for the last 50 years is because of the 85 Bears. They were content. Sorry. People don't want to hear it, but it's true. If the 85 Bears never won the Super Bowl, if they would have like choked to New England in the Super Bowl, they might have won again in 86. They might have not, you know, treated Mike Ditka the way they treated him. Or you might not have guys like Jim McMahon come out today and said he had more fun playing for the Green Bay Packers as their third string. We as Chicagoans overrate these teams. It's existing with the White Sox. Luckily, Rick Hahn don't care because we worship that 2005 team. every single year on October 27th, we watch the highlights of Burley and Contreras and Garland and, oh, they didn't give up a run in the ALCS. Thank God Rick Hahn doesn't care. Sorry. Bryant, Baez, Rizzo, Contreras, get rid of all of them. Move on.
That's what you got to do. When you're building a team, you have to acknowledge when you did it and it's over and you start over. The whole point is to build a team, win the championship, and see how many you can get out of it. But you have to know when you're not going to get any more out of it.
And the Cubs minor league system isn't as bad as it could be. Like, Braylon Marquez is awesome, and I really like Ed Howard. I kind of thought the White Sox were going to draft him. Now, they drafted Garrett Crochet, and I wouldn't take that back, but I don't know. It's just – it's not the same thing as, you know, the White Sox or the Dodgers. Even the Yankees have kind of fallen off over the last couple of years. The guys that they've been bringing up have been – you know, they've been kind of going back to their old ways of just having a $250 payrolls, but I don't know.
But I'll just save you the hassle of addressing
that. I'm not acknowledging it.
I'll save you the hassle.
I'm jealous of the 11 straight loss team that is going to sell all their guys and be terrible for another 100 years. Zero jealousy whatsoever.
Nothing to be jealous from the Chicago Cubs right now, being a Chicago White Sox fan.
I'm trying to help the Cubs. I'm just spitting the truth. Cubs fans don't acknowledge that they are bad, and Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, they don't help them win anymore. The offense is broken. You heard Theo Epstein, your almighty creator. He said it 3 years ago, and nothing got done to fix it. Descalso. They signed Descalso. Jason Hayward has been a 180 hitter for the last how many years? I mean, come on, man. Admit to yourself, and then you'll finally be able to see the Cubs through. Because they have what it takes to rebuild properly. They do. Do you like look what the White Sox got for Chris Sale, Adam Eaton, and Jose Quintana? They put together a World Series caliber organization. It helped that they drafted well, and you know, Nick Madrigal and Garrett Crochet. I really like Andrew Vaughn. I think he's a generational hitter. Like that kind of stuff can happen if you do it right. You saw Theo do it in 2012 with the Cubs. You know, they ended up with Bryant and Baez, and, you know, they traded for Rizzo, and they got lucky with the starting pitching by signing John Lester. He wanted to come play there, and Jake Arrieta was a diamond in the rough. I mean, Pedro Strop was the actual main piece in that trade, and Jake Arrieta was just a throw-in. So I'm not saying anything that's not true. It has nothing to do with any love or hate with the Cubs. It's just the truth. Time to move on and rebuild the team properly.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not jealousy.
No.
There's nothing to be jealous about. Yeah, they won a World Series in 16. But
we all have one World Series for our favorite team in our lifetime in Chicago. Each of us have one.
If Cub fans want to, you know, hang on to these guys and really believe deep down that they can rebuild again and be a competitive team with this core, all have it. Do it. It's not. We're just saying what we think would be best for Cubs fans. And that's
I would have understood it 3 years ago when it was, you know, if 2018 was rolling around and they were mediocre in 2017, all World Series hangover, the Dodgers smoked them, whatever. But how many years in a row do they have to all bat under 250 for people to be like, well, maybe it's time to actually move on instead of paying them $300 million each? So – what do you got for the – you think they're going to win tonight's game against the Phillies?
I do, actually. I do, too. I really do. I think Alzolay is – I agree. I like Alzolay a lot. He's going tonight. And
well, I can't get run support, though.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they can just bat like they did yesterday and they'll get it.
Yeah. Yeah, Chubbs, they just moved White Sox versus Cubs on Sunday Night Baseball to Sunday Night Baseball on August 8th, and it ain't because of your 11 straight losing team. I promise you that much. So ESPN is finally starting to get a hint. The world is starting to get a hint. We know who's coming in Chicago. I think the Cubs are going to go 1-2 against the St. Louis Cardinals. I think they will take one of them.
Oh, I didn't even – is it, and that's the only series?
Looking yeah, forward? Then we're done. That's why I called this the All-Star Show.
Yeah, there's only one series. And then for the White Sox, it's what, Baltimore?
Yeah. Which we'll get to in a minute for those White Sox fans waiting patiently for us to talk about the White Sox.
Yeah. I agree with 1-2, actually.
Yeah. I didn't look at the pitching matchups or anything like that. I really don't care. I just
nothing's announced for the Cubs.
Yeah, they'll just win one.
Yeah. You know, I believe Hendricks will go one of those games, so.
Yeah, he will.
I agree with that, 1-2. And I do think they'll win tonight. So
I guess the Cardinals and the Cubs are in the same boat. They have a bunch of stars that aren't living up to what they should be doing. And I don't know.
All right.
I'm kind of out on the Cardinals, too. I think it's the Brew Crew and the Reds in that division. Now, the Cardinals could come back and make me look dumb later on. I don't think the Cubs are going to come back and make me look dumb only because of the contract situations. Like, they might get rid of these guys. So there might not be anyone to make me look dumb later. But the Cardinals, they have Arenado and Goldschmidt and, you know, good pitching for the most part, we think. We like to think. But the Brew Crew, man.
They're the real deal, I think.
They could have their entire starting rotation at the All-Star game, which we're going to get, like I said, we're going to get into the All-Star game in a couple minutes. But, I mean, the Brew Crew, didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
So, 1-2 you got?
Yep.
All right. We spent a good amount of time on the Cubs in this episode because the last two episodes we started with the White Sox and then did the Cubs. I wanted to switch it up this week mainly because of the storyline. Listen, it'd be good for my monetary well-being if the Cubs were a better baseball team. And them rebuilding properly would be exciting to watch. And you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And you know, I've talked to you about this as we've been doing this show and as I pay more attention to the Cubs. Like, there's some guys like I enjoy watching and I enjoy following this team. But I'm saying from a realistic point of view, not some, you know, hold on to these guys fan. You have to do what's smart for the future, and they're not going to win anything else with this core, at least with the way they're playing. So you have the assets to start a rebuild again. It doesn't even have to be like a super long-term rebuild. You can do a lot of things with getting rid of some of these guys in a short time.
I couldn't agree more. The White Sox only lost 100 games once during their rebuild. It was a long, painful 5 years, but they only lost 100 once. And they ended up with Andrew Vaughn, so it was a nice little consolation prize. But they're not doing too bad lately.
The White Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that Tiger series last week, and I think I mentioned that, you know, the Tiger has been playing some of these good teams well, and that's kind of what we saw. We each had them at 2-1, and they ended up going 1-2. I could have swore I had them at 1-2. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out my ass.
You do that a lot.
Unless it's talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, we already addressed how you were wrong about hockey a lot. That series win over the Minnesota Twins, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Twins were like starting to get a little hot and people were wondering like, oh, their starting lineup is actually better than Cleveland's and nobody's scared of the Royals or Tigers right now. Both of them have kind of overachieved at times, especially the Tigers. But really, the White Sox, the Twins, and the Indians, those are the cream of the crop in the division. Well, the White Sox are now 10-2 against them in the division so far this season. And
when were the Twins getting hot?
There was a stretch where they were 7-3 in their last 10.
You're saying earlier before the White Sox swept them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Like mid-June, they were scoring lots of runs and –
it's been a rough couple weeks. They got swept by the White Sox. They lost the series to the Royals 1-2, and then the 1-2 loss to the White Sox.
Yeah, that's why nobody cares what the absolute clown Josh Donaldson has to say.
Yeah.
Which we're, other than the next sentence I'm about to say, we're about to have our first week in probably 5 or 6 that we didn't mention sticky stuff or spider tack one time. Like that, we'll mention it. I just did. But talk, have a lengthy conversation about it. It's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much have under control whether pitchers like it or not. They're getting checked randomly and throughout the game, so no one's going to be using that shit until we get new rules on it.
Yeah. So Cleveland's lost a bunch of games in a row. The White Sox treading water with all the injuries they've had. They now have an 8-game lead in the American League Central Division. What do you make of that?
It's comfortable. That's really what you look at. You look at the 8-game lead and you're like, that feels good. Knowing the injuries that you're dealing with and the the guys who are performing well, but you don't know if they're going to be able to perform that well long term. Looking at Gavin Sheets, Goodwin, Berger, you don't know if those guys are going to be able to keep up their above average play for a long term. It's kind of like Eloy would be able to, or Robert would be able to, Grandal. So that 8-game lead gives you that comfortability. That's what I look at that as.
I couldn't agree more. It also, it shows like a sense of resiliency because of the fact Robert, Jimenez, Madrigal, now Grandal. Those are all long-term injuries. Moncada, Abreu, Lance Lynn, Tim Anderson, Michael Kopech, Billy Hamilton. I feel like I'm forgetting. Oh, Adam Engel, all with semi stints either on the IL or just missing 3 or 4 games in a row with or without an IL stint due to like a small injury. It's been insane, the consequential players on this team that have dealt with something and they still find ways to win a majority of the time.
The next man up. I love it. It's been the theme of the year, next man up mentality.
Shout out Detroit for being only 3.5 games out of second place. That roster is not the best. And, you know, our friend Mike North got mad at, you know, White Sox fans for wanting A.J. Hinch over Tony La Russa. Well, look what A.J. Hinch is doing with that ass Detroit roster.
Yeah, and it's possible that they could take over second. Cleveland's playing against Kansas City, so who knows? What if Kansas City, like, you know, dominates that, and Cleveland's about to Detroit's about to start a series with Minnesota going into the All-Star break? So,
yeah, I held firm that I thought the Twins were going to come in second for a long time until like this recent stretch. Like, they suck. They're freaking horrible. Even, and like when they don't score 10 runs, they lose.
Even Berríos,
the White Sox like, haven't figured out now.
Yeah. He's on my fantasy team, I believe. I'm trying to look. Yeah, and he's just like, I don't know, hasn't gotten a win in 4 games for me, so that sucks.
Yeah, Berríos, the White Sox have kind of owned him lately, and they've owned the Twins. Maybe they wouldn't be where they are if they weren't 2-10 against the White Sox. You know, they'd probably be in the race a little more.
Definitely have them figured out.
After years and years and years, which is something that us White Sox fans were actually able to admit, was we couldn't beat them. No way.
They've struggled against them, and didn't they struggle against the Royals for the longest time too?
Well, the Royals were one of those teams back in the day where it didn't matter where either team was in the standings. The White Sox would just lose. But lately, they've been taking care of business. You know, when you're that good, you need to take care of business against everyone. I don't care about any of these superstitions or anything like that. No, I'm out on all that bullshit. The 2016 Cubs proved to me that all of that is bullshit, and baseball is a year-to-year thing, a week-to-week thing. You want to evaluate a baseball team properly? Look at how they played in their last 20 games. That is how you evaluate a baseball team properly. I don't give a shit what happened when Frank Thomas and Paul Konerko were like beating the Indians in 1990, or when Gordon Beckham's White Sox were getting smoked by the Royals in 2009. I don't give a shit. None of that matters at all. None of it.
Yeah.
That's what I try to tell you about the Leafs. I don't care what happened when Phil Kessel couldn't score on, you know, the Bruins or whatever. Like, none of that matters.
I bring up the current Leafs.
Yeah, but you can use, in any sport, you can't use the past to dictate the future. The 85 Bears aren't walking through that door anytime soon to help them, so it's about damn time they get over it and move on.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel about the whole division thing. But are you worried about the White Sox without Yasmani Grandal?
You know, you look at it and you're like, yeah, that sucks, especially because he was playing so damn well. But I mean, the way the season's been going, it's like you kind of have to not be worried. You just got to trust that someone's going to come in and be good.
Yeah. The second half schedule is going to be very tough. We will get into our predictions on Baltimore in a couple seconds here, but you like to at least take the series against them because they're a way worse team than you and you should dominate everyone you play. Shout out Billy Hamilton. We know our dad is a very big fan of him. So happy to see the Billy Hamilton love.
Slip and slide catch here. We're about
to as well show the greatest catch. Based on skill, it's probably the greatest catch I've ever seen. Due to the fact that it was pouring rain and he landed in the slip and slide. There are circumstance catches that are better, like Dwayne Wise robbing the home run to save the no-hitter, like stuff like that. I'm sure there are a couple big catch. I think of Benintendi in the World Series. That was a big one. But those were all circumstance. Like the rain falling down as hard as it was and to leap at full speed like that, that's up there for Billy. And Billy's a guy who, when we talk about Grandal missing time, I mean, Grandal's probably the second or third best run producer on the White Sox, and he's the best at getting on base, which I preached about how important that was when we were talking about Baez. But guys like Billy are just coming in and being awesome. And I don't know if that's necessarily sustainable in the second half based on some of the teams they have to play. They're going to see the Yankees again. They come out of the All-Star break against the Astros at home. They're going to play the Red Sox again in September, and I think they're the most underrated team in baseball. Even though they're in first place, everyone's still kind of like heeing and hawing about them, kind of like the Giants, because I think it's because of the expectations. But I don't know. I really have been proud of the way the White Sox have handled all the injuries this year. But there's one bit of news that came out today. And I wrote it on our sheet for today's show because a little birdie told me it was coming out today. That's Eloy Jimenez. I was tipped off last night that the White Sox were going to announce that Eloy Jimenez is beginning a rehab assignment. Now, the person told me it was going to be Monday. That was wrong. It's actually tomorrow. He's going to be playing for the Winston-Salem Dash starting tomorrow. So Eloy's playing in high A ball. And he said he's 100%, feels better than he did in spring training, and he believes that his injury did not affect his swing even slightly. Your thoughts on Mr. Heimam?
I want to be able to see him play in these high A games. He will eventually make his way up to Charlotte, right?
No, sure. Maybe.
I feel like he will. I feel like he'll play a few games there. Play a couple games in Charlotte, and then it's time to make his way to the South Side again. I can't wait. I can't wait to see those, you know, stupid videos on Twitter when some of these guys of his caliber go to these rehab assignments and just put a ball 400 feet with ease. You're going to see some of that.
You know there's going to be at least one where he, like, hits over the batter's eye or something.
Yeah, and the pitcher's just going to, like, laugh.
Like, what the hell's this guy doing here?
Yeah.
He has 50 tanks in the MLB, and he's down here dummying me.
I can't wait. The energy at Guaranteed Rate Field when this dude returns, it's gonna be like when Michael Kopech came out to make his first MLB start. We were there. Everyone was on their feet, giving him a standing ovation. It's going to be awesome. And, yeah.
I have another take. I believe the rest of this season is going to propel Jimenez to be an MVP caliber player next season.
Yeah, I mean, he
is that good.
He could have went into this year as that MVP caliber player.
I don't think people realize what he does for Abreu, Moncada. I mean, I have never seen, and I am a diehard baseball fan. I've been paying attention to this game for a long time. I have never seen a young hitter as polished as Jimenez come to the White Sox lineup. And so as he plays, as there's even more development, the fact that he could get even better should scare the ever-living shit out of the rest of the league. I'm just telling you, man, this roster's already in first place by 8 games. You add Eloy to that, and then Grandal and Robert eventually come back healthy. You might never have seen the White Sox be this talented in your whole life. Now, winning is an entirely different story. I acknowledge that. You don't just win based on your talented roster. The Angels have had the two best players in the league for 3 years, haven't won a damn playoff game, haven't even made the freaking playoffs. So, you know, I don't want to hear anything about rosters just making guys awesome. The starting pitching will be the difference for me, but you add a bat like Eloy to the middle of that lineup with those guys surrounding him, look out, man.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. I just
it makes you feel that.
It does, but I also don't want to see him in left field. We've talked about that. I want to see him DH.
Yeah. Santiago in the chat wants to know, when is Adam Eaton coming back? Never. Never. he might be like a Yankee or a Red Sox by the end of the week.
Which has to suck for him.
It's like, looking at what this team's about to do.
Yeah, in the future.
Like, there's eventually going to be a lineup with Anderson, Moncada, Abreu, Robert. Did I say Jimenez? I feel like I'm missing someone big. Either way, though, like even if it's Gavin Sheets or Jake Berger or, you know, Billy Hamilton, Billy the Hitter, it's a good lineup. Next year, you add back Madrigal. I mean, Adam Eaton probably wouldn't have returned next year anyway, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. I agree with you.
It's going to be fun stuff.
What do you think about them DFAing Adam Eaton in favor of Adam Engel coming back, of course?
I mean, it's one of those things you just got to do the business and smart decision for your team. So I it sucks. I feel bad for him, but you have to do it. You feel bad for a lot of guys. I feel bad for Yermin, but
Yermin will be on the expanded playoff roster, I think, though.
Yeah, and I do think he'll make his way to the plate in a playoff game.
That would be electric factory.
And I think that's
Santiago's comment, because if you're good enough to cut Adam Eaton, despite all the injuries, you're a damn good baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
Damn good baseball team.
Yeah. But back to what I was saying about Yermin, it's going to happen. And that's where he thrives. That's where he thrives. We saw at the beginning of the season, you know, him hitting the ball amazingly, like unable to keep it up, obviously. Like, he was hitting the ball too good to where that's just not attainable. You're going to see him come to the plate in a playoff game as a pinch hitter or something, and that's where he's going to shine. I'm not fully out on us seeing Yermin Mercedes do something amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If he comes back and let's say he goes to AAA and starts hitting again and finds his confidence and, you know, everything's all good in the hood for him, that's another boost off mm-hmm. the bench. Maybe yep. if someone's 0-3 in the playoffs, you sub in Mercedes, you pinch hit with him, and he cracks a nice base hit. He did still kind of have that clutch factor. Like, he had a couple walk-off hits and just being real good. So,
yeah, exactly.
Jake Berger and Gavin Sheets. We thought of it at the same time.
Also, we're going to talk a little bit about their pitching before we move on to the preview of Baltimore. But what do you got on Jake Berger and Gavin Sheets?
When you hit 320 in minor league baseball, AAA, you eventually get called up. That's just how baseball works. And, you know, it's been good for them. They've been hitting tanks in minor leagues. And now they're in the majors, and they're doing well. What are your thoughts on them? I really like Gavin Sheets. I think he's a more complete hitter right now. Jake Berger still got a little bit to go. He had the long, long injury history. But I like having them over guys like Eaton. I heard my good friend Steve Dangle say something on his podcast yesterday. I was listening. He said, I'd rather you suck and be young than suck and be old. Now, Jake Berger hasn't sucked. He's just not quite to where Gavin Sheets is yet. Even though there was the triple and the double, like, he's been pretty good. But even if they do start to like fall off a little bit, because a lot of prospects do, I'd rather watch them bat 190 and have a chance to break out of it and be part of the future than Adam Eaton.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But for what they're called upon, that kind of is like when you asked me about that 8-game lead, it's because guys like Gavin Sheets and Jake Berger, Goodwin, coming into the lineup and being decent baseball players.
I couldn't agree more.
Real quick, Santiago has to run, and in case he's still here, thanks for tuning in and commenting and chatting with us.
Yeah, Santiago, we always appreciate you, man.
Yeah,
always. I want to like talk some Bulls with Santiago, but I don't really have a platform to do so. Maybe me and him will hop in the chat and get Lara to start talking about the Bulls and Bulls 101.
Yeah, exactly.
I love when Lara asks me how the Cubs are doing. It makes me so happy, especially when they're on an 11-game losing streak. When you have guys who could come up from the minors and help supplement you when the bottom starts to fall off, which happens to every team in Major League Baseball, and I said on the last show, that's what separates the good teams from the bad teams, is how much does your minor league system contribute to your MLB success in any particular season? And for the White Sox, they've been getting that. And that goes to, you know, a nod to Rick Hahn and the development staff and hitting coaches like Frank Menachino and guys like all that. So they all deserve tremendous amounts of credit. So what do you got on the Orioles?
Before the Orioles, I just want to talk about four guys on this team who have set a franchise record, first time in franchise history, that the White Sox have had four pitchers with 100 strikeouts before the All-Star break. That's Rodon, Giolito, Cease, and Lynn. That is remarkable stuff. This is the best rotation in baseball. It's not even close.
I couldn't agree more. And let me reiterate that a little bit for the audience. The first time in franchise history. Do you know what year the White Sox became a team?
I mean, I'm before 1909?
1901. They are 120 years old. Yeah. The first time ever, four starters 100 by the All-Star break. The guy who's like the least to get to 100, Lance Lynn, he missed two starts with an injury. So really, it could have been a long time ago that happened. And I don't know. I really think it's a really cool achievement. Dallas Keuchel's not even close. He only has 55.
Yeah,
lucky to reach 100 on the season.
Yeah, but could you imagine?
He's not a strikeout guy. He's not a strikeout guy.
Exactly. He'll finish a game with what, 4 or 5?
Yeah, exactly. Rodon, Giolito, they're all getting 8, 9, 10 a game. Yeah. So when Giolito is the one struggling the most, he's really not even struggling that much. He's just not a Cy Young candidate right now. You know you have a damn good pitching staff.
Oh, yeah. Remember when we were at the game versus the Twins? And shout out our cousin Frank takes the under on Dylan Cease for strikeouts. And I was like, don't do it. Just another timeout.
That was my idea.
Yeah.
I thought the Twins, they create contact. I mean, call it what it is. Like we were saying about the Cubs. You say what it is. The Twins hit. I kind of thought they'd hit around Dylan Cease a little bit, and they didn't. So, Baltimore.
Keep the momentum going. I don't want to say struggle, but it was tough against Detroit. You come back, you lose game one against the Twins, and then you lose the next two, or win the next two. Keep that going. I'm seeing a sweep.
I am also saying a sweep. There's no means for the Orioles. So it's not like they have that Cy Young caliber ace that I should be worried about who's going to come in and shut down the lineup. I think they're going to be a little juiced about the Eloy news, and they have a day off. I'll be a little annoyed if they don't sweep the old Baltimore Orioles.
The run differential between the White Sox and the Orioles is 219 runs.
They better sweep their ass.
That's crazy.
They better sweep them. At least 2-1. Major League Baseball teams win games against other Major League Baseball teams, good or bad. So,
like the Orioles, like what? They just shit on the Astros recently, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's a little scary to say sweep, but I just think the White Sox. I think the White Sox can sweep them, and then I know we'll talk about it. I am so excited for the Astros to come to town after sweeping the White Sox over in Houston. Going to be a different story next weekend.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that
on next week's show.
Yeah, but I'm excited for the Astros to come to town.
Absolutely, I'm considering it as well, just because it'll be the first time since that they come to town with fans. No, it's the first time coming in general since the sign stealing scandal came out and all that. So it should be a lot of fun.
This will be the first time the Astros are in town since that.
Yeah, because they didn't play the Astros at all in 2020.
That's true.
Yeah,
there will be plenty of booze and rowdy Sox fans.
It should be a lot of fun. Like, I have the video of them booing out Josh Donaldson. Imagine that for like every player. Now the Astros are starting to slowly but surely drop like flies from the All-Star game. Jose Altuve's out. He doesn't want to have his feelings hurt by people booing him in the All-Star game, you know, so it'll be fun to see what those cowards do.
Yeah.
Good White Sox talk. So
yeah. Wait, you said sweep too?
Yeah, right? Sweep. And I kind of regret not saying the Cubs will get swept by the Cardinals, but the Cardinals stink too.
I like the 1-2. I think Kyle Hendricks will win a game.
Yeah, and I think they're going to win tonight to complete my last week prediction perfectly. Getting swept by the Reds and then going 2-2 against Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago baseball has 5 All-Stars. Those are from the Chicago White Sox. Starters Carlos Rodon and Lance Lynn, and closer Liam Hendricks. And for the Cubs, it is third baseman / outfielder Chris Bryant and their closer, Dirty Craig Kimbrel. First of all, I'd like to get your thoughts on the Chicago All-Star roster as a whole and if there are any snubs in your opinion.
I don't know. I don't know if there's any snubs per se. I think the White Sox, you know, really had no – yeah, you could say Tim Anderson was snubbed. But when you have to take players from the White Sox, you look at their pitching. And Rodon and Lynn, we're talking like potential Cy Young. And then Liam Hendricks, probably one of the best closers in the American League. So, I mean, if you're taking 3 guys from the team, I feel like you can't pass up on those guys, can you? And then the Cubs, I already said that I think Craig Kimbrel is the best closer in the entire MLB. And Chris Bryant, yeah, it's Chris Bryant. Of course he's been awesome all year. So I don't think there was really too many snubs, especially like with the injuries. I would love to have seen Grandal there, but it sucks.
I'm with you. The pitching has been the key for the White Sox being in first place throughout all the injuries this season. So it is fitting that he is – all the 3 of their All-Stars are pitchers. But – I think Tim Anderson was an absolute snub from the White Sox and Grandal. And you could make a case for Abreu and Moncada. They were both finalists but didn't make it, but I understand because they're good players at every position. Javier Baez is absolutely not the second best shortstop in the National League, but he's a very good one. And you can argue he's a snub based on his power numbers, but I would actually consider Wilson Contreras the biggest snub from the Cubs. And Anthony Rizzo you can make a case for as well, but – all in all, it's an okay roster from both teams. But if I had – no.
No?
He would be the worst starter on the White Sox based on ERA.
I know. He started off rough, though. Like, his numbers are a little
– yeah, I know. But, like, so did Giolito. And he's not making the All-Star team. But he's got, like, 8 of his 9 last starts are quality starts. They kind of take the year as a whole, which is kind of funny why – they chose Chris Bryant over Wilson Contreras because Chris Bryant was awful in June. He batted like 190. But I still think he deserves to make it for his season as a whole. And it's also kind of good for him. He's got another All-Star to add to his resume when he tries to get a new contract. But yeah. If I had to pick one snub from each team, I would choose Anderson and Contreras.
What and other
mentions to Abreu, Rizzo, Baez, and Moncada.
What other, and I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, I can look in a second here. What other shortstops? I think you do have it. What other American League shortstops?
Shortstops. The starting shortstop, based on the fan vote from the Boston Red Sox, is Xander Bogaerts. And then Carlos Correa, who is having an outstanding season for the Astros. So, but you also don't have to only take like Chris Bryant made it as a utility guy. Like they didn't even list positions for the reserves because they could just play anywhere.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't know. I don't look at TA as a snub just because, I mean, he would go in as a short.
Adding 307.
I know. Xander's got to be better.
Xander's having an MVP caliber season. Yeah. Been a little more consistent from the start of the season. I'm not ripping on that. But I don't know. Carlos Correa is a very good player, but their other second baseman and DHs that I would consider leaving off in favor of Tim Anderson. So,
yeah, there's while we're talking about Xander, I'll just go ahead and say that the Red Sox are the only team right now to have five players going, and that's Xander Bogaerts as a fan election, Rafael Devers as a fan elected starting third baseman who's having an incredible year, JD Martinez and Matt Barnes were voted by the player ballot, and Nathan Eovaldi was the MLB selection. So,
it's a lot of Red Sox.
It's a lot of Red Sox. I'm so happy about it because, like you said, this team is so underrated. Kind of reminds me a little bit going into 2018. I'm not going to lie. 2017, didn't they kind of stink?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They always come in last or second to last the year before winning a World Series.
Last year they stunk, and now here we are in 2021. Who knows? Don't sleep on those Red Sox.
Yeah, and Laura brings up a good point about
what about you?
No, about Correa.
Yeah, yeah.
I brought up how Altuve dropped out. I'm pretty sure Correa did as well. So that could be a way for Tim Anderson to avoid being snubbed, which would be really cool to see if they end up adding him. So the rest of the roster, fan voted your starting lineup for – it's not the lineup in order, but at first base is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Second base is Marcus Semien, both Blue Jays. At shortstop and third base from the Boston Red Sox, you have Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. From the Kansas City Royals, catching Salvador Perez, the designated hitter, Shohei Ohtani. From the outfield, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, and Teoscar Hernandez. I hate that Mike Trout was voted in, not because I don't think he's the best player. He probably is, either him or Shohei. But he's injured, so voting him in, allowing them to vote him in, was kind of stupid too. And the pitchers, from the New York Yankees, Gerrit Cole. From the Chicago White Sox, Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon and Liam Hendricks. From the Cleveland Indians, Shane Bieber. From the Angels, Shohei Ohtani. From the Boston Red Sox, Matt Barnes and Nathan Eovaldi. From the Texas Rangers, Kyle Gibson. From the Seattle Mariners, you're going to have to help me with this, Yusei Kikuchi. I have a hard time saying his name sometimes. He's a very good pitcher. We saw him. He faced the White Sox at that Mariners game we went to at night.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at the same list right now that you are. So,
from the Astros, Ryan Pressly. And from the Detroit Tigers, Gregory Soto. Shout out to Gregory Soto. And then the reserves from the Tampa Bay Rays. You got Mike Zunino, who's probably the number one reason that Yasmani Grandal did not make it. From the Houston Astros, Jose Altuve, who we are getting word has opted out. From the Toronto Blue Jays is Bo Bichette. From the Houston Astros, Carlos Correa, who we also heard is opting out. From the Oakland A's, Matt Olson, the power hitting Matt Olson. I like Matt Olson. From the Cleveland Indians, there's Jose Ramirez, Jared Walsh from the Angels, Michael Brantley from the Astros, Joey Gallo and Adolis Garcia from the Texas Rangers, Cedric Mullins from the Baltimore Orioles, Nelson Cruz from the Minnesota Twins, and then, of course, JD Martinez from the Boston Red Sox. That is a great all-star team.
Yeah, I mean, you are always like AL guys, and just the list of players here, and to cap it off, like my guy Shohei.
I was just going to bring him up. He was a talking point I have.
My guy Shohei Ohtani is going to hit in the All-Star game and pitch in the All-Star game.
Let me ask you something.
I can't wait. And be in the Home Run Derby. Like, is there anything this guy can't do?
Let me ask you something. Jeff Passan went on the Pat McAfee show. I don't know if you remember Pat McAfee. He was the punter for the Colts a while back, and then he worked for Barstool Sports for a few years, and now he does his own thing on Sirius. Jeff Passan compared Shohei Ohtani. A lot of people compare him to George Herman Babe Ruth, and it's fair because he hits and pitches, and that's something that has never happened in 100 years since Ruth left the Yankees, or since Ruth left the Red Sox. But Ohtani was compared by Passan to Bo Jackson, who you might know was a multi-sport athlete. And his reasoning was because even though they play the same game, a pitcher and a hitter, in his opinion, are technically playing two different sports. Or it's like they're playing two different sports because of how different. Because when you pitch, it's all in your elbow, your wrist, your hand, and your shoulder blade along with your lower body core. Whereas hitting is just mainly your middle waist and your legs combined with your arm swinging motion. It's completely different in terms of athletic ability. And the fact that Shohei does both at the highest level possible, to the point where he was named an all-star at both positions, pitcher and hitter. What is your take on the comparison between him and Bo Jackson, who was an NFL player and a Major League Baseball player? It's an interesting take.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a very good word to put it. It's good. It's cool to talk about. But I wouldn't really, you know, put it on the same level of being a multi-sport athlete, playing football and baseball. Because let's be honest, Jake DeGrom is a very good hitter. He's the best pitcher by far. Is he looked at as a, no, it's just the fact that Shohei,
I don't think DeGrom would hit 30 tanks by the All-Star break.
No, but I don't think
DH on a regular basis.
I don't think Ohtani will ever have a 5 ERA and a 0.6 whip.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
So I think the gap between DeGrom and Ohtani is probably about the same as Ohtani and DeGrom in batting. So, I mean, right? But no one's talking.
I think you're giving Ohtani not enough credit pitching, just a little bit. He's very good pitcher. And what Jacob DeGrom is doing this year is otherworldly and might never happen again.
And yeah, he's only doing it. But my point is, there are pitchers who can hit the ball. It's just the fact that Shohei Ohtani is good at pitching. I would say he's better. He's better than good at pitching, but he is a elite hitter. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the one not voted. The MLB chose him as a pitcher. The fans chose him as a hitter. Now, the MLB probably would have chosen him as a hitter too. But if you had to leave him off for one, it would be hitting.
No.
No, I meant to say pitching.
Yeah, yeah. He would be if he can only go in as one spot,
he'd be a hitter.
Yeah.
And the one that we both agree he would have not made, if you only could pick one, is the one that the MLB chose, not the fan voters. So it just goes to show how good Shohei Ohtani is. Do you agree? Let me put it to you this way. Is he the greatest or the most unique baseball player you've ever seen?
Yes, because of the fact he's able to be a very, very good pitcher and be an elite-level hitter, that's unheard of. But there are pitchers who are better and who could also kind of hit the ball. So that whole multi-sport athlete thing, I don't know if I can hop on that boat. But yeah. It's incredible, and I can't wait. He's going to be the highlight of this All-Star week, All-Star, you know, Monday, Tuesday, you said it was. He's going to be the highlight. He's going to put on a show in the Home Run Derby, which we'll talk about here in a second. And the All-Star game, he's going to do something remarkable. He's going to pitch. He's going to strike out another All-Star. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah. Shohei Ohtani's ERA is 3.49. He's 4-1. So he's got like Lucas Giolito this year type numbers.
Yeah.
Which is very good. And he's also got 32 tanks, 297 or 279 batting average. His OPS is 1.064. That's like Mookie Betts and Bellinger were that high like the year they won the MVP.
Yeah.
I agree on the different sport thing. Just because if you're football and baseball or basketball or hockey, like it's an entirely different game. We both grew up playing. How many times was the best hitter on the team also like the best pitcher? Like just the best pure athlete?
I would say that's the case. That's the case exactly. For a lot of MLB players until they get out of like the high school level maybe.
Exactly. When they like pick one.
Yeah.
So I agree. The American League All-Stars are very good. They have my rooting interest, of course. I believe they have yours as well.
Oh, definitely. But there are some guys. There are some guys on this this NL list that I'm a big fan of as well.
Of course. What's up? I said, of course. Do you want me to go over?
Yeah, you could do it. Cool.
The starting lineup for your National League All-Stars: from the Atlanta Braves, Freddie Freeman; from the Pittsburgh Pirates, Adam Frazier; from the San Diego Padres, the actual best shortstop in the National League, Fernando Tatis Jr.; from third base in the St. Louis Cardinals, Nolan Arenado. Kind of on that one for me. The catcher from your San Francisco Giants, Buster Posey. Ronald Acuna Jr. for the Atlanta Braves in the outfield. And then, of course, the other two outfields, both from the Cincinnati Reds, Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos. And there's a deep drive to deep center field by Castellanos. It'll be a home run, and that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. Did you see that video where he did it again?
Yeah, you showed it to me. He sent it to me.
Like, whenever the Reds broadcasters are doing, like, some kind of big moment, make sure Castellanos is not coming up to bat. Your pitchers from the National League All-Stars, the New York Mets' own Jacob DeGrom, who probably won't pitch at all. Kevin Guzman from the San Francisco Giants. And when you get to the Brew Crew, that's where you, like, start to feel bad that only these guys made it because they're so good, the Brew Crew from top to bottom pitching-wise. Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, and Josh Hader. From the San Diego Padres, Yu Darvish. From the Chicago Cubs, Craig Kimbrell. Also from the San Diego Padres, Mark Melancon. Herman Marquez from the Colorado Rockies. I hope the Red Sox acquire him in a trade. I think that's very possible. Alex Reyes from the St. Louis Cardinals. Trevor Rogers from the Miami Marlins. And one Zach Wheeler from the Philadelphia Phillies. Before I get into the reserves, pretty good pitching over in the National League. I'd probably give the nod. That's close. Jacob DeGrom's probably not going to pitch. But with Lance Lynn and Rodon, makes the American League a little extra stacked than they normally are. But those Brew Crew pitchers, man.
And, wait, you don't think DeGrom will pitch?
No.
What about – oh, yeah. I would definitely give it to – I'm looking at it right now. I would definitely give it to the AL. I mean, Yu Darvish is – I would give it to the AL.
The only reason I'm thinking NL, if DeGrom pitched, is Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff. Those guys are insanely good. And Zach Wheeler got roughed up by the Cubs yesterday, but he's been awesome. Like, he gave up 5 runs in the first 2 innings, and his ERA is still 2.23. The reserves from the Philadelphia Phillies, JT Realmuto, Ozzie Albies of the Atlanta Braves, Chris Bryant of the Chicago Cubs, Brandon Crawford of the San Francisco Giants, Jake Cronenworth from the Daddies, the San Diego Padres, Eduardo Escobar from the Arizona Diamondbacks, Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, and Juan Soto from the Washington Nationals, Brian Reynolds from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then Max Muncy, Mookie Betts, and Chris Taylor from the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's a damn good team.
Very good team. I have a huge, huge problem with one of the players I believe got snubbed big time, probably the biggest snub of both leagues.
Does he have a big red beard?
He does have a big red beard.
Are his initials JT?
They are JT. You look at all his stats compared to Nolan Arenado and Justin Turner. Justin Turner has the edge. Now, in the fan voting, Justin Turner won the fan voting by getting 40%. Nolan Arenado won by getting 40%. Justin Turner came in second place with 34%, followed by Chris Bryant at 26%. You mean to tell me, like, we're not gonna take this into consideration that he was 6% off from winning the damn thing to being a fan voted starter, and now he's not even gonna be on the team, even though he's got better stats than Nolan Arenado?
It's a joke.
I think it's a joke. I mean,
I agree.
If I'm him, I'm
an all-star.
If I'm him, I am saying, like, you know what, fuck that. I'm just gonna enjoy these couple days off with, you know, some of my teammates, but I feel bad for Justin Turner. I hope he wins the World Series MVP.
Well, if they don't play the White Sox,
they don't play this either Sox, obviously.
Either Sox, agreed.
Shout out Anthony Suchala. We rock. Great hat, Joey. Thank you very much.
Love you, Ant.
But if
this just made me think of something real quick before we get into the last thing I want to talk about. If you had to name, like, if someone paid you to name your 5 favorite MLB teams, who would they be?
The White Sox?
I think we have the same 5.
5 favorite MLB teams?
Like, the 5 you like to watch the most. You're a White Sox fan, but like and Red Sox, but like the other 3 are like teams you just enjoy a lot. I'm pretty sure we have the exact same top 5, but I don't know if even you know that.
I know we probably have the same top four. The fifth one, I don't know. The fifth one could be, depending, it is kind of a year-to-year thing. They call me a bandwagon or whatever, but, like, yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Bandwagon if it's, like, your number one team that you're
Yeah, it's definitely the White Sox, Red Sox, Dodgers, and Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And that, are you agree?
Yeah, except that Giants fifth. I thought you were going to say another team fourth.
If for me, it's always been, lately, it's been the Brewers.
That's it. The Brew Crew.
But, like, I don't know. Right now, I just haven't really been paying too much attention to the Brewers.
I love Lauro's list. I like the Mets, too. I'd probably put them, like, sixth.
I hate the Mets. I'm sorry. Sorry, Lauro. I've been watching. I watched a lot of the A's. They were enjoying me early in the season. Or I was enjoying them early in the season.
They were enjoying you?
They were enjoying
you. Enjoying you do what?
They were enjoying me win money off them. Anthony says the Angels are fun to watch this year. That's another one. I mean, you can't not agree with that.
Oh, watching hey, baby.
Shohei Ohtani.
Hey, baby.
And then early on, I mean, the White Sox opened up against the Angels and seeing Mike Trout. That was sick.
Yeah, that night we had our little family party by our cousin Dominique. Yeah. That night, Dylan Cease became the first pitcher in 100 years to throw a 100-mile-an-hour pitch and hit a tank in the same inning. Since one George Herman Babe Ruth. I'll never forget that. I don't know why I remember that and where we were, but it's like it's one of those where were you moments. I was at that family party and Ohtani throws a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and then goes out and hits a tank the next inning or the next half inning.
So the fifth for me is it's a toss up between like the Brewers, Angels, A's, and
yeah.
It crushes me, but I always kind of like the Jays too. But screw Toronto.
The Jays, they're fun to watch.
Yeah, but they're also like a division rival for me. It's like when they're good, they annoy me, but when they suck, they got like, yeah, I like the hat and stuff.
Special place in your heart.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Speaking of the Jays, the Home Run Derby has absolutely nothing to do with them. Do you have a Home Run Derby favorite? Do you need me to list them off first of all?
Well, I believe we have the graphic here of the.
Oh, we have the graphic. That's right.
Over
an hour ago, when I remember, since that graphic was on this screen, off.
Yeah. A guy I like on here, but I don't like the matchup is Juan Soto. But I'm obviously rooting for Shohei. If they don't reseed or anything, this is just the straight bracket.
I believe so.
I would love to see Shohei versus Joey Gallo in the finals. I think that would be a show.
See, Joey Gallo is my pick to win just because he's been hitting tank after tank and it's Coors. Trevor Story is going to be the story of the Home Run Derby, no pun intended, because of the fact that it is at his home ballpark and that's where the fans are going to go the craziest and everything. But my rooting interest is invested in Mr. Mancini. He had cancer last year, and, you know, he's going to be the comeback player of the year. He's been amazing for them, and I honestly think I'm going to be rocking my Orioles hat on Monday just because I want Trey Mancini to have that moment of winning the Home Run Derby. But like I said, he's probably the least likely on his side.
But does that really matter in the Home Run Derby?
No, it just matters who pitches to you the best. How good you're feeling in that moment. So you're right. And that's who I'm rooting for big time. I like Trey Mancini a lot.
I truthfully believe after watching this thing for as many years now, any one of these guys could win it. I think my favorite time. What's your favorite Home Run Derby moment?
Oh, Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton.
Because I remember that one so vaguely. Like I remember everything I did that day because of that Home Run Derby. And I feel like I'm one of the only people that remembers he didn't win the Home Run Derby.
No. Wasn't it that was the year Cespedes won it?
It was the first year Cespedes won.
My favorite.
Was it Cespedes? No, I don't think it was Cespedes. Cespedes won back-to-back.
I think Cespedes won it that year, too.
I don't know. What's yours?
Bryce Harper. With his dad pitching. That was it for me. But I have a feeling this year, if Shohei can do it, like, I mean, that's a chalk pick. I feel like that's the chalk pick here.
Not really. I knew it wasn't Cespedes. Though it's a little too early for Cespedes. It was Justin Morneau.
Oh.
So.
But yeah, that was fun. I'm going Shohei Ohtani this year. Like, you know, let's have a pitcher win the home run derby. I think that
if he wins the home run derby, I'm going to consider crowning him the greatest single season player of all time. And then we'll see if he's able to continue doing it in the years coming up here. But I mean, if he had 32 tanks in a full season as a pitcher, we'd be like, whoa, a pitcher hit 32 home runs. But he's got 32 at the All-Star. He's on pace for 64 home runs. Come on, Angels. Do something to make it where he could start a playoff game and hit third in the same game, please.
Yeah. Larry Golden, our guy Laro's going with Joey Gallo. And that's what I want to see in the finals. So Gallo and Shohei going at it.
I think Gallo's my brain pick. Mancini's probably my heart pick.
Gotcha.
So if they play each other in that second round, that'd be a lot of fun to watch. Home run derby and all-star game, man. It's a staple of our summer for as long as we've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, I'll write this one down. Give me.
you fucked that up bad. Holy shit.
Give me your all-star game prediction and your home run derby prediction.
My home run derby prediction is Shohei Ohtani wins it. I don't know if you want to say over who, but he wins it. And my all-star game prediction will be the AL wins 5-4. Yeah, 5-4. I'm trying to think.
I like that.
I like to think like I'm very, very biased here. I think Leon will make his way in and be electric factory in the All-Star game. So,
yeah, he's been to the All-Star game before with the A's. I am going to go with – I'm going to pick Gallo.
Okay.
Even though I want Mancini, I want to be wrong, but I'm picking Joey Gallo, and I think the American League is going to win 8-3
in an all-star game.
The American League is coming to play this year, boys and girls.
You got 5-4 for me from the AL and 8-3 from Vinny for the AL.
It'll be a bad look on this show if the National League wins. No, it won't, because we don't care.
Yeah. We'll just look to the Astros and whoever the Cubs play.
Oh, yeah. If they have a National League wins, I might pretend it didn't happen. Like, oh, we're on to the Astros. Who do the Cubs play next after the All-Star break? Hopefully someone good. Hopefully someone that'll make it worth watching.
I just was looking earlier today, but then we were talking about the All-Star break, so I didn't, like, take note of it. It is the Diamondbacks. So a team that's also been almost just as bad as them in the past.
Yeah, one lost 11 straight and one lost 17. But one has minimal to no talent on their roster, and the other has multiple guys who, like, might have their numbers retired. So that's our baseball show. What do you think of the All-Star show? Like, what went on? Is there anything you want to add? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm happy I was able to get off my chest how I think the biggest snub of the entire MLB was Justin Turner. He should be playing in this game. He should, but whatever.
Well, there you have it, folks. Joey thinks Justin Turner should be in the All-Star game. I think Tim Anderson should be. Maybe he'll replace Correa. That would be really nice.
I also think Xander Bogaerts is the best shortstop in the American League.
I think there's a fair argument to make that as of right now, yeah. He might win.
We talked about at the beginning of the season, who would I rather have, T.A. or Xander? I think it's a coin. It's a coin flip. But right now, Xander Bogaerts is the guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mad that he made it as the starter one bit. I mean, I think T.A., I'd like to see him make it, but we'll see what happens. Make sure you're following at Joey Parisi and at Vinny Parisi on Twitter, especially during the All-Star game, so you could talk a bunch of shit and Chubbs can tell us how great the Cubs are, even though they're absolutely horrible. and Laro can ask me how the Cubs are doing, and I could give him a well-informed answer on what's going on. Unbiased, no hate, just pure unbiased journalism from me on the Cubs and the White Sox on Twitter.com and at DeWindy City and at Southside Showdown and basketball fans. I'm a big Shooty Hoops guy. Don't you like the Shooty Hoops? Suns and four. Make sure you catch Bulls 101 Saturday nights at 11 p.m. Central or on demand wherever you can find a podcast. Podbean, Spotify, Apple. That's where you can find this show, too. And Bar Down Blackhawk Talk, which you all watched yesterday, I know for a fact.
Why does everyone keep saying Suns and four? Am I the only one rooting for the Bucks?
Did you not see the video of the fight?
The fight. Is that the only thing that we're in overtime.
That was random.
Would you look at that?
We're in overtime.
I feel like if it's just from that like fight video, okay, then I get it. But I'm rooting for the Bucks. So go Bucks.
Yeah, but when that guy got punched and got his ass beat, and then he goes Suns and four. Yeah. Something I would do. Like I would get in a fight with like a Cubs fan at Wrigley, and I'd be getting my ass arrested, and I'd be like, "How'd the Cubs do today? How's Baez's on base percentage?" Like, you know what I mean? So I respect the crap out of that guy. I enjoyed this. The All-Star game is fun. And like I said, make sure you turn into all the barroom shows. Suns and four. Go CP3. And make sure you follow both of us on Twitter. Thank you for listening.